The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach him and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was growing up as a kid, back in the 60s and 70s, I think the most famous and recognizable person in the world was the heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali. Of course, he was Cassius Clay first and then changed his name to Muhammad Ali. How many people here remember Muhammad Ali? Yeah, point proven. So you know that the word humble wouldn't necessarily be the first one that would come to mind in describing the champ, who consistently referred to himself as, "I am the greatest of all times." Not a bad imitation, huh? More to come. Because there's a story, I would love to think this is true. I read it somewhere. About how when he was the champ, most famous person in the world maybe, he was on an airplane getting ready to take off, and the stewardess came by and said, "Almost ready for takeoff, champ. Better buckle up." And in his inimitable way, he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the stewardess shot back, "Superman don't need no plane neither, champ. So buckle up." Actually, this is a little bit of an aside, but I find it a great story. Not that he got Parkinson's disease, but he did have at the end of his life a great humility. If you remember, I think it was the Olympics in Los Angeles where he carried the Olympic torch and lit the flame, shaking with Parkinson's disease, showing the world that he was a human being, ill, vulnerable. That was certainly a great, great moment, a great example of humility for somebody who was so proud. The old saying is so true, that pride does go before a fall. And that is the point Jesus is making in the parable of the wedding banquet, in which people are jockeying for position. They're pushing each other out of the way to get the prime seats at the table that have the most status, that say, I'm somebody, I'm important, I'm better than the rest. Sometimes I think the word pride gets a bad rap too, because it can be used in a positive sense. Let's talk about that for a bit. When we work hard and do a job well, when we apply our God-given talents to doing something that helps people, when we have discipline and hard work, we can have pride in that, in the best sense of the word. But if we have pride, that implies that the attitude we have must include the fact that we recognize that our talents and our gifts are from God, as is the very ability to develop them so that we can serve God and His people to give God glory and show love and charity to others. The word pride, in a sinful sense, comes from an attitude in which we are puffed up with self-pride, looking only for recognition and glory for ourselves, and forgetting that everything we are and have is a gift from God. If we have this attitude, then we are setting ourselves up to be humbled, setting ourselves up for a fall. And we are also putting up barriers between God and us, which surely will prevent us from receiving more of God's grace to develop more and to do more, to give Him glory, to help spread the gospel and build His kingdom. My dad, as so often was the case, shared great folk wisdom with me in his simple way. He was a deep thinker and a great philosopher. And when we were together, he'd watching TV, for example, and he would see some loudmouth puffed up with pride on the television, putting someone else down and trying to aggrandize himself, he would say, "Kenny, I just can't understand how anyone can think that he is better than somebody else just because he was lucky enough to be born in a certain way, at a certain time, or a certain place. These people are fools." And he was so right. If we look down upon, fail to help, or not treat with compassion, dignity, and justice others less fortunate than ourselves, then we are more than foolish. We fail to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to see everyone, the poor. We remember the unemployed, especially on this Labor Day weekend, people who want to apply themselves in a productive way to contribute to society and take care of their families. We need to see the poor, the unemployed, the foreigner, an alien, the physically and mentally challenged, the unborn, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and have the humility to remember another old and very true maxim: there, but for the grace of God, go we. We need to see them as equals and treat them with love as superiors and betters, because indeed, my friends, we need to see them as Christ, who told us quite plainly, "Whatsoever you do for the least fortunate of my brothers and sisters, you do for me." God love you.